listening to the Hometown Losers, the St. Louis Sports Podcast, with Josh, Adam, and OJ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back here to the Hometown Losers Podcast. This is session number 21, joined as always by my co-host here and Adam and OJ. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well.
Doing great here as well. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's been very, so far, an interesting week when it comes to St. Louis sports. Unfortunately, Battlehawks losing their playoff win to get in, but STLSC, massive win.
There's,
Cardinals, like, yeah.
I was going to say, it's been a mixed bag. So, you know, City SC is still keeping us going up, but Battlehawks are, you know, we're clinging to, you know, possible playoff scenarios, which we'll get to later on for sure. But I guess we'll get started with the Cardinals because obviously that's been major topic, and we've got some ups and some ups and downs. We've had a crazy, you know, a crazy week so far. You know, some crazy games for sure. That's no doubt.
And to that point, Adam, I'm just going to go straight into this because we've been talking for the past like 3 weeks about the pitching woes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to blow through some statistics real quick for you guys here, and then OJ, I kind of want your opinion because I know that you have a lot of those sabermetrics and stuff like that that you tend to look at, right? So Michaelis in four starts is 0-1, ERA of 8.1. He's pitched only 20 innings in four starts. He's given up 36 hits, 19 runs, 4 home runs. He's walked 5, struck out 19, whip of 2.05, and an average of 3.96. Montgomery, 2-2 in four starts, ERA 22.1 innings pitched, 25 hits, 12 runs given up. He's only given up 1 homer, 5 walks, 19 strikeouts, a whip of 1.34, average 2.75. Flaherty is a very weird one here, and I think some of this is a little bit of an outlier. We'll see, but he's 1-2 in four starts. We got an ERA of 2.95, but a whip of 1.41, average of 1.91. Here's the biggest kicker for him specifically, 17 walks, 17 strikeouts. 17 walks is kind of crazy. Woodford, 1-2 in four starts. He's got an ERA of 6.05. He's only pitched 19.1 innings. He's given up 27 hits, 13 runs, 6 homers, you know, six walks, 12 strikeouts, whip of 1.71. Steve Matz here, 0-2 in just his three starts, but a 6.48 ERA pitched in the three starts, 16.2 innings, 22 hits, 12 runs, 3 home runs, 8 walks, 17 strikeouts. And here's some crazy other statistics here. It's not just our starting pitching because none of this looks really good. If you look at our bullpen, our bullpen's average ERA right now out of the games that we played here is 8.24, with giving up an average of 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 home run, and 3 walks, 9 strikeouts per game, whip of 1.27 on average, and an average of 234. I mean, OJ, what's your thoughts here on the pitching staff? I mean, is this all our pitching staff at this point in time? Is it just because it's earlier in the season? I mean, we're starting to get to the point where we feel like we have a decent enough sample size, right?
Right. Not really. It's still like mid-April, so a lot of advanced stats take quite a while to normalize, and much longer than like 2.5 weeks or whatever. So it certainly is a little early to be judging anything. I mean, you may remember it was several years ago. I'm not exactly sure what year, but I remember there's one season where Milwaukee got off to an incredibly hot start in April, and they seized the lead of the division. And then they went and played 500 ball literally the rest of the year, and wound up losing the division to the Cardinals at the end because the Cardinals started out slow and got hot. My point is that 1 month, even a full month of the season, is hardly indicative of a team's capabilities. So certainly like 2.5 weeks isn't even close. That said, as far as the pitching goes, it hasn't been good, especially the starters. If you go to the Fangraphs page and you look at their our pitching stats leaders, you have Jordan Montgomery, and then a bunch of bullpen arms. That's bad.
Right.
It sorts them by WAR. So Jordan Montgomery with 0.7 WAR, he's having a very good season. Then right after that, Zach Thompson, Ryan Helsley, Drew Verhagen, Giovanni Gallegos, Chris Stratton. And then you finally get to Miles Michaelis. When you have five bullpen guys. Well, sorry, when you got like five bullpen guys that are outperforming all but one of your starters in accumulated WAR, your starters are performing pretty poorly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what is Michaelis' WAR right now?
He's sitting at 0.1, which I'm not exactly sure how to extrapolate out to, but
I know.
Yeah, obviously WAR is a cumulative statistic, or so, you know, the more you play, the more you accumulate. so that's why it's pretty tough when you got these guys that pitch like nine innings that have more WAR, four times the WAR of the guy that pitched 20 innings. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted to jump in real quick. So to OJ's point, so overall as a whole, I just looked it up, is that our bullpen does rank 11th in the majors with a 3.39 ERA. But if you take out just Jordan Hicks with his 12.71 ERA.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Of course. But that, if we just take him out of the equation, the rest of our bullpen would put us in third in the league. So just reinforcing OJ's point, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And further, if you took out Andre Pallante, that would be
awesome.
They both have been, like, having really terrible years so far. So that those two alone have completely dragged the bullpen's numbers down. The bullpen outside of those two has been pretty good.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say beyond those two that have been – it's not necessarily an outlier for how the pitcher is, but Helsley has walked more – than he's normally known for per inning, right?
Yeah, he's not matching what he did last year, for sure.
Right, but he's
still pitching. And I wasn't expecting a repeat either, you know.
Yeah, I still think he's an all-star. I think he can still get to that form. The 2.34 ERA for a closer is still pretty high, but I think that once he gets a little bit more of that control down, then maybe, again, the walks start going away. And some of them, honestly, like, he's just not getting calls either. So, you know, that comes into the humanistic side of it. But that's the reason why I wanted to go to you, OJ, is like, I think that out of the three of us, you're definitely the more like even keel. I know that Adam and I have a lot of emotions that we bring into, like, especially around statistics, like right away.
I get like really mad about baseball. But,
yeah,
you know, if I'm honestly evaluating that, like, no, there's not really anything to be mad about yet.
Right. Yeah. No panic button stuff like that. Right.
They've made some moves, you know, they've done some things. It can be tough to watch, you know, like especially some of the decisions they make.
For sure.
You know, you don't feel like you're necessarily the manager is necessarily putting the best team out there all the time. Mm-hmm. When you're sub 500 and you're trying your expectations are to compete for the World Series, that's not great to watch. Or like, you know, because how. You know, after the last time, I guess that was the last time now, but I was sitting there like, how many times are they going to let Jordan Hicks blow a game before they stop putting him in?
It's like, just don't even put him in there at all. I mean, seriously, he's the worst reliever in the league.
Yeah, it was after that game that Marmol finally came out and said, we're going to relegate him to a low leverage situation. Yes. But like, you know,
he's off blown trying one to bring somebody up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. The problem with Jordan Hicks is we can't send him down. He's at the point where he would have to accept a demotion, and that's not likely to happen.
Mm-hmm. Why would he? You know?
Well, exactly. Pay.
I guess maybe. Yeah, exactly.
But, to me, that does feel like it could be beneficial for the player. I mean, theoretically, you can negotiate a certain amount of time that you can be down if you allow them to send you down. So, like, if Hicks says he could say, yeah, you can send me down, but I'm only going to be down for like, I only am willing to be down for like 15 days or something, right?
Yeah.
So then they would have to call him back up. So that give him a little protection there. And the way he can't command the ball, although he has been better his last two outings. But the way he was showing signs of struggling to command the ball, it's like, why not iron this shit out in the minors? You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, why would you not? I mean, I understand, yes, you'd have to step down. You would forgo some of your pay. But this is furthering your career. You're bettering yourself in the long run. You know what I mean? So yeah. To your point, it makes sense to at least take a little bit of time, go down,
I mean,
figure this shit out. And then try to come back so that way, you know, you can actually contribute to the team. Otherwise, he's not going to be seeing, like you said, very much time at all, you know,
in
backup situation. So it's like, okay, yeah, you're in the majors, but you're not going to be pitching much. So,
yeah, I mean, you're going to only be pitching when
we're. So it's like, you're not going to get better then as a player. Yeah, you're not going to get better as a player then. So.
And I think that some of that has to do a little bit with ego as well. Not to say that he, you know, Jordan Hicks, like, you know, I'm the best pitcher or whatever. But it's like, you know, you get into this certain point, you work your ass off to get to the show, you get there and you get on a roster. And part of that ego is like, I can't go back down because if I go back down, I may never come back up. Right. So because it's so hard to get to the show. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes that's the way that players look at it. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's luckily, like I look at it. Go on.
He doesn't. I mean, luckily he could negotiate to where that's not something he has to worry about. But
right.
I get your point. I mean, he doesn't think he's gonna keep pitching terribly. You know what I mean? He's like he's
proven otherwise.
Like, yeah. Why should I go down? I'll get it right the next time. I know it.
We need to show signs of improvement first, though.
I just didn't feel it tonight. I know I'm capable of doing this. Like,
the thing is you can't just continue to make excuses. You got to show signs of improvement. So,
well, yeah, absolutely. The proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's definitely gonna be interesting. Obviously, with Marmol clearly coming out and saying what we've been saying for a minute that Hicks is, you know, we're gonna have to figure out something with him. That he's obviously, as you said, is gonna be in low leverage situations. That does kind of put, to your point, OJ, kind of put us in a pickle as well, because a guy that you definitely had on the roster and not even penciled in, but written in pen as to be a part of this pitching staff is all of a sudden now not going to be there. And you can't put him in those high leverage situations. So what do? You put him in when we're up by five? Like, do you put him in when we're down by five? Like, you know, what do you figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is he's got so much upside. It's just impossible to like get rid of him, because you just know some other team will grab him, fix something, and then you'll look like the jackass for DFA and a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, obviously it's hard to put into perspective again, you know, the Hall of Fame thing, who knows if that will happen. But the thing specifically when it comes to that is that he does have so much upside. We've seen him where he's been absolutely dominant, right? So when is that going to be coming back around? Because you would hope that at some point in his career, that's going to be able to happen again. And because then it would be awesome if we could have Hicks to Helsley, you know what I mean? Kind of in the progression or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that could happen yet. I mean, that is sort of like the next best thing is keep him pitching, but put him in the low leverage situations. Cause the thing is, if you DFA him, somebody will claim him. You know, he's not making a lot of money right now. So it's like teams would take him just for the gamble, just for the long shot of hitting on something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so if it's between losing him or doing this, I guess you do this, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And so this is a little off topic, but it literally just popped up on my phone. So for anybody that hasn't heard, and I know you guys probably have seen it, but you guys heard about Max Scherzer getting ejected from the game. Yeah, for this quote unquote 60 substance. He said he was going to appeal it because he was proven that he was very adamant that he was innocent through all this. It just came through that he obviously got a 10 game suspension and he will not be appealing, which to me tells something was going on there.
Yeah.
Well, like, if you want to talk about that, it's like, you know, something fishy is going on because they've been checking these dudes' hands for like since last year.
Yeah.
Or even longer. This whole knows what rosin and sweat feels like. You know what I mean?
It's like that.
So
bullshit.
Either he's lying and fucking with Max Scherzer or Max Scherzer's lying about not, you know, having this stuff.
And clearly, if he's not willing to appeal, then it's like, okay, he knows that, you know, he finally got busted. So,
Yeah. And I just don't see, you know, what motivation the ump would have to just make shit up.
Right. And my thing about it too is like, it would make sense like to not appeal if it was like, say, a 3-game suspension. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's, I'm not going to be missing a start. Or hey, it's a 5-game suspension where I'm going to be missing one start. Okay, whatever. Yeah. It's not worth all the hassle. Just let MLB do whatever. But 10 games is 2 starts for you.
Yep.
That that is a massive amount. Like, sure, and again, we know that 2 starts for your ace pitcher, especially mm-hmm. with the Mets, you know, like in that division, that could mm-hmm. be the cost between winning it or going to the wild card. And so I don't know it's a topic for a different time, but that to me, if I'm the MLB, I'd be like, okay, we're definitely investigating this now. Like, you're not appealing.
So I'm reading what he said. Apparently he's claiming because the MLB was going to be the one, you know, going to be doing he would be appealing, but it wouldn't be going through a neutral arbitrator, but instead it'd be going through the MLB. So he feels that I guess he's got a biased jury, I guess, already against him based upon that. So therefore he says he's not even going to push for it. I mean, if you're innocent, I would at least try, but okay. I mean, what are you
going
to lose?
Going on there.
You know what I mean? Like, if
whatever. Yeah. Yeah, but you are already rich beyond anyone's most people's wildest dreams. Like, you could literally walk away from baseball today and like still go live your best life. Why not?
I mean, like, and truthfully, for you to come out that adamant and have a 5-minute interview about this after the game and repeatedly state your innocence to make a show of it on the field, and then to all of a sudden come out and be like, well, there's bias against me. That tells me there's at least one closet that you don't want them to open up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. That's a little bit of a gray area there, but you know, it is what it is. Sorry. I just. No, it's off topic, but it just popped up, and I'm like, oh, my God.
I didn't hear that he wasn't going to appeal, so that's breaking news. So,
yeah, there you go.
I just knew the
heard it first here on the Hometown Losers podcast via the ESPN app.
There you go.
You know, hey, whatever, right? But let's get back to the Cardinals here. And we've already talked a little bit about the pitching, but I'm just going to ask a general question. We'll start with you, Adam, here. Do you think the lineup needs any changes? Do you think we're actually –
Yeah.
I mean, to me, when you look at a paper, it looks like we're hitting okay, but what's your thoughts on
what we got? Well, the problem is that I have with it is that we're leaving too many men stranded on base at this point, I think. And that's the problem is that we're just not scoring enough runs. While our bats are hot, we're just not doing enough when it comes to run production. And if we can't do that, we're going to continue losing games. I mean, I'm looking at right now, we're 7th in OPS, 5th in on base percentage and 9th in slugging, and yet somehow we rank 22nd in runs scored.
Yeah, so, I was just about to say, you know, we're averaging 4.8 runs per game out of the next.
We're not scoring enough runs, so we need to switch up that lineup.
Especially
the
pitching staff letting up 9 runs.
Well, of course, absolutely. So I think we need to stop getting, you know, we need to figure out a way to switch up the lineup. And I think, you know, one way to do it is, you know, potentially, you know, moving Newt up. You know, up a little bit further. Obviously, Gorman has been, you know, really hot lately. So let's bump him up a little bit higher in the lineup. Maybe put Newt in the second slot. You know, get some of these men on base, and you know, at least against righties for sure. So,
OJ, what's your take on it here? Do you believe that there's a change that needs to be made up in the lineup's personnel, or kind of more to Adam's point of just kind of maybe mixing up the lines a little bit?
So I think they should make some kind of more drastic changes. This is probably more how I was imagining it from the beginning of the season too, because I think that our poor defense has cost us a lot of runs and thus a lot of wins this year. And we have a pitching staff that is pitch to contact. Like, they don't strike people out. They don't miss bats.
Right.
And the whole idea was, well, we have an elite defense, so they'll make up for it. And they did last year. But this year, when you're playing Burleson and Walker in the corners so often, and a non-natural center fielder like Tyler O'Neill in center, you're like, all of a sudden, all kinds of stuff's dropping that wasn't before, you know, and your guys' ERAs are going through the roof. You're starting every game already down 3 runs. And so now the offense sucks. Like, if it was me, I'd try to get my best defensive lineup out there as possible while also still getting as many big bats. So I really want Walker or Burleson DHing because they're both – Walker in particular has been terrible in the outfield. Mm-hmm. If you could move him to DH, because Nolan Gorman's like – he at least looks like he's competent at second base now. So put him at second, and that way you get him in the lineup. So you got Tommy Edman at short, Gorman at second. You got your corners as usual. And then you have an outfield of Newt Barr in right, Carlson in center, O'Neill in left. And then that winds up being pretty good defensively, and you still got a nice little lineup there. You move Donovan around. You know, Donovan's going to spell guys, so he'll play literally everywhere except for catcher, I guess, and pitcher.
Even though, then, honestly, like, I'd much rather have him than Kisner at this point to be our backup catcher, just saying.
He might be able to do it better. I don't know. Yeah,
exactly.
But I was pretty impressed with his shortstop play, given I didn't expect mm-hmm. them to ever put him there. But the only problem there is you wouldn't be able to play Burleson as much, and he would kind of be relegated more to a bench role, unless you maybe wanted to try and platoon. Well, no, I don't think he has any platoon partners either. Like, basically, you know, it would hurt his value if you're trying to trade him later. But
right.
if I'm trying to win games, that's the lineup I want to throw out there. And I'd stop pinch hitting for Nolan Gorman every time just because he's left-handed. Like, they pinch hit for him twice, and he's been one of their best hitters this entire season.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just playing like – there's nothing more annoying than analytics being used in a really stupid way. Like, where people just turn off their brains and like, oh, this is what the numbers tell me. Like, that's not how it works. You know, like, oh.
But, it was just like last year when Pujols came up to bat. Adam and I were at the game, and we're like, all right, here we go, because it was a very tight game. And here comes Pujols, and they pinch hit. I'm like, you're going to pinch hit for the guy that is like two and a half months is hitting 25 plus home runs because he's not that great against righties. Are you kidding? Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous. I'm like, what the hell is going on? There's still a game to be won here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I definitely understand that and agree with that for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the changes I would make. Also, I would probably – I don't want Taylor Motter on the team. I don't know what their weird obsession is with him. I don't know why he's there. All I can think of is that he's there so that the fans won't have somebody to be mad about getting sent down when they eventually bring Paul DeJong back up.
Like, it could be like, hey, we're going to bring you up. You're going to get some time up in the major league. You will eventually get sent back down so we can bring this very unpopular player back up.
Exactly. I mean, because that's what's funny is I was like, I can't wait till they send this dude down. But then I saw somebody online today. They're like, he'll probably get sent down when they bring DeJong up. I'm like, oh, no.
So I'll tell you, I saw a very funny fan made like video the other day where if you guys have seen the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell's basketball team. Mm-hmm. And so they trade for Woody Harrelson's character or whatever. They trade for him. And he's like, man, who do we trade for him? Oh, we traded our laundry machine and our hot tub machine and like for him or whatever. That's what I saw that about DeJong. They were acting like, like it was talking to the Marlins. Like they were in like the Marlins dugout or whatever.
Oh my
God. They're like, we got Paul DeJong. Why'd you trade for him? What did we even trade for him? Oh, we traded a jacuzzi for him. I just die laughing. I'm like, that's pretty much what his value is, at least for like St. Louis fans believe at this point.
Right.
I just thought that was hilarious.
Oh. The thing is, when he comes back up, I do think he'll give us our best defensive alignment, at least when he's at short and Tommy Edman's at second. I think Tommy Edman is like, he's better defensively at second than he is at shortstop. I mean, he's been okay at shortstop, but I don't think he's like elite there like he is at second base. So kind of nice to get him over there. But still, that he's such a hole in the lineup, DeJong, that would be more of a late inning while you're ahead substitution thing.
Exactly. It's kind of like what we did with that. I can't remember the dude's name, but the really fast center fielder we put in. He was Ben like DiLenzio or something like that, if you guys remember him. He played more that defensive.
DeLuzio.
DeLuzio, that's right. Yeah. And he again played that defensive role, specialist or pinch runner, because he was pretty fast. So
yeah,
I think
that was after we got rid of Bader, so that's where they had to
put in a hole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see, you know, how the Cardinals progress going forward. Obviously, when you take a look at the road trip, you know, obviously we're going to be in Seattle, and Seattle's not off to a great start. And then we face the Giants, and then is the Dodgers,
Dodgers. Yes, the Dodgers. Yeah, we're going to be – it's a 10-game road trip out west, basically along the coast there. So, yeah.
And you want to know more reason to, you know, not throw in the towel on the season yet? There's lots of good teams that are struggling right now, including Seattle.
Yes, including Seattle. Even the Dodgers were having
the Padres. You got super teams out here not doing so hot. Like,
yeah, even the Dodgers were like not having the greatest start for them, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you got to be a little patient in baseball, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Again, we got a lot of baseball left to play.
I was literally going to say that, OJ, specifically around the Padres, right? The Padres literally have one more win than us. They're 9-11, excuse me, and we're 8-11 with that ridiculous of a team and a much better starting rotation.
You can't even use like the weaker competition argument either, because the only NL Central team we play, I think I heard that we've had like the fourth toughest strength of schedule in the league so far, something like that. So you can't even be like, oh, well, they're in the NL Central, so it's not the same thing, you know, like, no, it's right. Like,
looking actually out at the NL West, because obviously we thought, you know, they were going to be, potential contenders, you know, going to be a possible, you know, pretty tough to contend against. But looking overall, dude, the only team, the best team in the entire league is the best team in the division is the Diamondbacks with a 579 average right now. The Dodgers have a 474 average. They're 9-10. Jeez. And we're what, 7-11?
Yeah. Right.
So
that's what I'm saying. We're only a couple games worse than the Dodgers.
Yeah. So I'm just Yeah. So who would have thought that, you know?
Yeah.
So actually thinking about that and talking about that, and you know, how do we feel about that 10 game road trip coming up?
Let's go.
Yeah, so
I feel pretty good about it, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe that's what they need. They need an extended period away from home, away from expectations, just to get their heads right too. You know what I mean? Who knows? We saw that obviously work very, very well for the 19 Stanley Cup Blues. They're a much better road team. I see that kind of in a sense for the Golden State Warriors in basketball. They are a terrible away team. They're very good at home. You know, they feel more comfortable at home. They get, you know, to their own stuff. So maybe that's just how it is. Maybe they just need this road trip to, you know, help bond and kind of solidify. And, you know, maybe they'll be better. Who knows?
Yeah, between the Mariners, I was going to say they obviously have a shitty record. The Giants, even worse than our record right now. And then obviously the Dodgers here aren't much better than ours. So I think that it's honestly – I think for 10 games away, we might actually hopefully be able to turn things around and you know, start coming up in the ranks, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to make some progress, and who knows, maybe next thing you know, we'll be in possible contention. For third place potentially. I mean, we're, you know, four games behind the Cubs, I think, right now, so we can do it.
All right, guys. Well, let's transition here to another St. Louis team, and the Battle Hawks playoffs are coming up real soon for the XFL Cook Hall. Let's talk about the game coming up here, and that's Orlando. So this is going to be very interesting when you're previewing Orlando. Again, these are the statistics very similar to what I did for Seattle that I just had to kind of accumulate myself since there's not much out there. So St. Louis passing game versus Orlando passing game. St. Louis has the number 3 passing game. In the XFL, Orlando has the number 4. We got 1,852 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Orlando has 1,968 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. So way less, you know, 6 less touchdowns, 1 less interceptions. On the running game, St. Louis has number 6 overall. Orlando has number 3, so a very balanced attack for Orlando. We have 752 rushing yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. Orlando has 858 yards, 4.3 yards per carry, and 11 touchdowns, way more. But this is where we stand out. Our defense is number 4. They have the worst defense in the league, the number 8. Sure. We have 15 sacks, 46 tackles for losses, 8 forced fumbles, 10 fumble recoveries, and 8 interceptions, excuse me. Orlando has 13 sacks, 40 tackles for loss, 7 forced fumbles, 6 fumbles recovered, only 3 interceptions. What that tells me is that McCarron's going to be able to actually throw the ball and have time to throw the ball.
Yeah, going to say that's unfortunate what he didn't have against Seattle this past weekend. You know, he just couldn't do it, you know. And our defense on top of it, the past 2 weeks haven't really been there either. So they've been, you know, if they're just basically, you know, rushing up the middle, but yet Seattle was just looking overall, you know, I think we did pretty well versus Orlando the first time we seen them, 29-9. And overall, we have a really good record against the South opponents in general. We're 3-0. So it's obviously a must-win situation for us because we missed that opportunity last week. But a few things are going to have to happen here if we actually want to make it into the playoffs. And that means we need to first and foremost, they have to win. That's for sure. So, yeah, obviously against Seattle, we saw that our defense, you know, was also lacking there as well. But obviously, our offense was, you know, unable to make any sort of progress there because Seattle's defense was, you know, they were stopping us left and right. And obviously we were making a lot of mistakes and quite a few interceptions we saw. In fact, that one right at the very end, which pretty much sealed the deal. After we literally get the ball, we intercepted the ball, we turn around and throw the ball away. So
Let's just say some suspect officiating as well. Because
no doubt we've seen that the past few weeks for sure.
The league ran by a former WWF superstar. So
there you go.
And I keep seeing stuff that
I'm saying it's rigged. I'm saying it's scripted.
A lot of people are saying that it's both scripted and rigged because of like they want these comebacks and they want these games to like look like all, you know, like all hope is lost and all of a sudden here comes another team kind of thing. I mean, right. I don't know about that because there's so much betting that goes around into this stuff now that if they
get caught, happened, it would be
highly legal.
Wow. I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a billions of dollar lawsuit because people are going to come down on them like the hammer of Thor. It's going to be Melanor going straight down on them. You know what I mean? So I don't see how they would do that. Because like, and that's the thing is, so technically, can you bet like for like who's gonna win a WWE match? You can, but it's labeled down as entertainment. It's not labeled down as a sports bet. It's an entertainment bet. So it's very similar to like taking a prop bet for the Super Bowl of like how long the national anthem's gonna last. If that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So it's very similar to stuff like that. Yeah.
Because this is a sports bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Because I bet a couple times, you know, using a FanDuel or whatever, just for the heck of it, you know what I mean? So actually I did that when I was out of state, so
I was gonna say you can't do that here. So
no, but yeah, luckily that's when I was in Dayton, Ohio. They allowed it. I'm like, sweet,
there you go.
But yeah, just won a little bit. I was just like, I got to, since I'm here. I threw down like $10 of the Battlehawks to cover the spread, which they did. So, and that $10 bet gave me I think like $20 or something like that. I'm like, sweet. Yeah. So anyways, let's take a look at the playoff prediction, or not even prediction, as I should say, but the path. So essentially, if St. Louis wins and Seattle loses, St. Louis is definitely in because obviously we have a better record than they would. If we lose and Seattle wins, Seattle would be in because they obviously would have a better record with us. If we both lose, we would have the better tiebreaker over them when it comes to divisional record, so we'd be in. It gets to be really chaotic if we both win because it comes down to point differential. But we also need to be higher up than them in the divisional point percentage. I didn't really fully understand it. Unless, Adam, you want to, you know, chime in on something of that. But it sounds like most likely Seattle would.
Yeah, this is what I've understood, is that basically we need to win. Seattle needs to lose. If we both end up winning, from my understanding, it looks like Seattle has a better chance of making the playoffs than us because of like the because of point score per se. But we, I think there's a scenario.
Go ahead.
What's
go
that?
Ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think
no, I was gonna say. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm sorry. Sorry, sorry. Go
yeah.
ahead. Sorry.
But the fact is that we need to outscore Seattle apparently by 20 points. So meaning like the difference between the two of us, you know what I mean? Like us versus right. Orlando, we need to over, we need to outscore Seattle. So if Seattle winds up with, you know, say 7 or 8, then we need to come up with 28 or whatever to at least make that up, so to speak, to be able
and that's
to
margin
between
of
the two of us. So, correct.
Right. And that's margin of victory. So, and that's a scenario because they're taking on Vegas. Seattle, excuse me, wins the game 20-27, so they win by 7. That means that we would have to win 27-0 over Orlando for us to have the better point mm-hmm. differential going into it. Correct.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I want to make sure that we, you know, got that underway. And because again, like these tiebreakers don't look very easy to understand, that's for sure. And they're
no,
not really
they're not.
Like publicly they're, coming out and talking about them either.
And I think they also, from my understanding, they flubbed up on it as well last week on the national broadcast as well. And there was some confusion. So there's been a lot of debate about, you know, what is
which one
what is which, what yeah. is what. And there's a, been a lot of analysis about it, you know, from what everything I've seen so far is that we basically we it's a must win for us. Seattle is a must win for them. And if it is, then good chance that Seattle will probably make it in unless we obviously go out and have a blowout against Orlando and Seattle has a rough game. So that's what it pretty much boils down to without getting into the, all the math of it directly.
And Orlando's 1-8. They're the worst team in the league because their defense is so bad. I can see us being super aggressive in this game, even though we're not really a very aggressive team, but I can see us doing it just so we can go out there and just rack up the mm-hmm. points.
Yep. We need to yeah. do yeah, like take chances on this at this game at this point for sure.
You literally yeah. have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Exactly. Yeah, just by winning, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that we're going to be in. So
right.
obviously it's unfortunate that we have to play first. Because otherwise, you know, it would certainly make things a little easier for us. But we play Saturday and I think Seattle plays on Sunday. Right. So
yeah. OJ, so you ready to say something?
No, I'm good.
And Adam, you're going to finish your point. They have the advantage.
Yeah, I'm just saying that they have the advantage because obviously they'll know obviously what they're up against per se, you know, versus us. We're having to go first in essence. So that's my point.
Yep. And it's an early ass game, isn't it? Like
it's 11 a.m. Central. It's super, super early. So people will be out there tailgating it. Yeah, we have to be out there freaking early in the morning. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be tailgating, but for those folks that will be, I'm sure they'll be out there, you know, 6-7 in the morning. Just, you know, so they're going to be out there super early. Obviously, for us, gates open, what, an hour and a half before. So, yeah, 9:30 gates will open. So crazy.
Your beer starts getting sold at 9:30. Let's go.
I was going to say, I'm not sure why we have such an early game. It's kind of crazy. I was hoping it at the very least a noon game, but yeah.
Look, the fans demanded something to do on a Saturday morning.
Apparently.
Cartoon
they did not want to sleep in, apparently.
Like, I'm tired of having to wait till afternoon to get drunk. Like,
apparently.
Let's go.
We're going to the Battle Dome. We're getting wasted.
I wonder how many people are going to just not go to sleep from the night before and just keep going into the day.
Who knows, man? There's a lot of people that got hammered, that's for sure, going into yeah. last week's game, as I should say.
For sure.
Start pre-gaming really
well, I was
going to
say, good thing it's on a Saturday morning and not a Sunday morning or whatever, because obviously, you know, they don't even serve alcohol like early mornings in Missouri. So there you go.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if we make it to the playoffs, OJ, we're coming to your house and we're going to be doing some tailgating at your house. We're all going to get drunk there. How about that? We want to do some day drinking.
Sure, we can try that.
we can try that.
Just have a tailgate in your driveway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're just gonna show.
Why not?
Like a barbecue in front in your driveway. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
To let you know where they were. Just gonna.
Yeah,
have
we gotta bring the TV outside. You know, we gotta do the whole thing. Yeah. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully the weather's good.
Yeah. If not, yeah, then we'll just have to huddle up outside and get one of those tents.
He'll just turn the sprinklers on us, you know?
Oh, shit.
We can use one of your guys' TVs then, I assume.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to say, Josh, don't you already have like almost a near water damaged TV or almost water damaged TV?
Yeah.
Just put it on the claim.
Because that's what I'll do. I'll put it on the claim.
Yeah, there you go. Got damaged by the roof.
The TV in my attic got damaged from my hole in my roof.
Absolutely. Why not? Shit.
All right, anyway. Guys, let's get back on topic here. Let's talk about the other new St. Louis team in St. Louis SC. What a win against Cincinnati, shit, guys. 5-1 in a dominant win.
What a wild-ass game that was. I mean, not only did it start super, super late because, you know, there was literally tornadoes that were in St. Louis. And so people were like huddled up inside of the stadium. But they still had a packed house. Everybody's on their fucking feet the entire game. It was an electric game. It was unbelievable. I'm so glad. Unfortunately, there was some glitches and whatnot. So I unfortunately missed some of the very beginning of the game. But they were able to finally work it out. And I was literally talking to Josh for a little while. And I think within like 20 minutes or something, I'd have to look and see what it was. But within like 20 or 30 minutes, they scored like 4 or 5 goals. It was nuts. I was like, dude, I can't stop talking to you right now, because if I hang up, we're going to stop scoring. So
it was 1-0. I got on the phone with you the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I was on my way home, like 5 minutes down the road from me. And oh god, it's 2-0. Woo! By the time I pulled in my driveway again, 5 minutes later, oh my god, they scored again. It's 3-0. I'm like, oh my god,
it was
like
nuts. I'm like, now. Yeah, I was like, this is crazy, dude. We completely dominated that game, and their defense just completely collapsed. You know?
Yeah, I mean, so
and we're really physically strong too. Overall, we're you know, and usually Cincinnati is pretty physically strong too. But the fact is that we are. You know, we're not afraid to get out there and dominate and, you know, be physical for sure, you know?
Yeah. And what's nice is that was a pretty tightly reffed game, but we still beat them. We actually had like 26 fouls to their 16 or something like that.
Yeah, actually I had
but that. But we were still able to be 26. Successful even with a more aggressive ref. Go ahead, Josh.
No, I was just going to say, you're 100% right. It was 26. We did get 26 fouls. They got 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And both of us got 2 yellow cards apiece.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But,
I mean, yeah, go on.
It was very fun. It was what I noticed about it. So I think we barely are better than them in the expected goals metric. But
we were tied 1.5 each. Yeah, you're right.
By the end of the game. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I looked up that stat, and, you know, they do everything you'd expect, right? Where they take, like, from the position on the field and all that kind of thing, right? And get you an expected goal metric. But I don't know how much I trust it. Because, I mean, that felt like a pretty dominant performance watching it. I mean, it definitely felt like St. Louis had way more, like, dangerous chances than Cincinnati did. Even though Cincinnati
had sure.
possession. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll rattle off some statistics here. So we had 17 shots, 7 of which were on net. We had a 42% of the possession and 68% of our pass completion. They had 11 shots, 5 of which were on target, 58% possession, obviously, since we had 42, and 75% pass completed percentage. So to your point, OJ, we definitely had more. We took more shots, six of them. And it resulted in more dangerous opportunities. We had 7 targets on net. And obviously, 5 of those end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, the thing is, a lot of them seemed like quality scoring chances, too. It wasn't like kicking it from, like, halfway down the court or the field and scoring, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, again, some of that, you know, when it comes to these metrics and stuff, if, like the expected goals and all that stuff, I think it goes into they just don't know our players all that much right now. You know what I mean? I really think
that
I mean, I guess
I do with expected goals. They actually like take they account for where the shot was from and like the circumstances, like whether it was coming across, the field at once.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I thought you were talking. Yeah, I thought you were talking about like pregame analysis. Is what I thought you were referring to.
No, I was just talking about expected goals metric. That they like to show that at halftime and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was under a different understanding of what you were going on that. But yeah, I don't know how they, again, like fully calculate that or whatnot. But again, going into halftime, we were up. Weren't we up 3-0, Adam? Going into half?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, but it is what it is, right? It was a very good win against the number one team out in the East. And I think that really kind of cemented us that, hey, we're kind of real here. It was a fluke and we just had a dominant game. But I really do feel by watching the performance, because obviously I was on the phone with you, Adam. I didn't actually get to watch the game, but I did watch the condensed version of it. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it that just felt that we were way more dominant than they were.
We were, especially in that first half, for sure. The second half, obviously, we had one goal, and then obviously they had, you know, there was an own goal as well against Cincinnati. So, but yeah, we definitely dominated that first half for sure. I mean, we had a goal. You go ahead.
Oh, that own goal was hilarious, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Scott Sterling shit. Oh, man.
I do feel like we've been getting the benefit of a lot of that this year. Like, really bad defense.
We got the benefit of our very first goal ever.
That was a very good chance. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about it, though, is when we talked about Danny and had him on as the guest star, he talked about how that pressure turns into opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. When you get that kind of stuff, those are goals that are forced by our relentless pressure. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, again, it just makes teams in the MLS very, very uncomfortable.
And if you continue to see the stats, usually every game I've seen is that the opponent that we're facing almost always has the upper hand when it comes to possession, but we always outshoot them. I mean, we're always constantly on them when it comes to putting pressure on them, on their keeper, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So
I'll tell you what game I have circled on my calendar, and metaphorically, because I actually don't know when it's going to be coming up, but one that I definitely want to like watch is when we take on Minnesota again. I think that is going to be, because again, OJ, when we talked about that game specifically, you were talking about just how they were being like us, very like counterattack and stuff. Are we going to take it to them a lot more? Or are we going to try to play?
Well, I wouldn't say their style is like us. We actually attack the ball and try and win it back when it's like high. Like we try and we kind of put on like a full court press, right? That's kind of how we do it. Minnesota just collapses back into their zone and lets you get deep, and just they're happy with you just taking the ball right in, and then they try and capitalize on turning the ball over there and getting it down the field quickly. So it's quite different.
Makes sense, because it was a really low scoring game if I remember right. So
yeah, exactly. They basically play a trap.
That's the
kind of team they are.
Yeah. Sounds like
in Rocket League when they're just everybody crams in the net and just waits for you to hit the ball, the crossbar.
They're just trying to get it behind you because you're too far up attacking.
Whereas teams that are obviously want to go out there and be dominant and start passing the ball, we're going to be aggressive. So, which obviously we did, in that previous game.
I definitely am interested to see if they have any kind of adjustments on how they play Minnesota as well, because it definitely seemed like their style kind of took the wind out of our sails a bit. So,
for sure,
we'll try to be different.
So I'm going to run off some statistics here, guys, and I'm just going to have a general conversation with you guys on this one, because I'm very curious on what you guys believe, right? So where does STLSC really stand in the MLS? Obviously, we're the newcomers and stuff like that, but we have quite a few games under our belt at this point in time. Where do we really stand, right? So to go into this, so the thing to think about is we are number one in the West currently. We have 75 out of the total points that we could, or 75%, excuse me, of the total points that we could have collected, we have gotten, which is great. We're number one in the entire league in goal differential. We are four games ahead of the last playoff spot, because each win is worth 3 points if you win it straight out. And we are we have 18 points. Portland has 8, and they hold that number 9, which would be the play-in series to get into the playoffs. So obviously that 10 points is 4 total games. It's 3 games and a tie, but you see what I'm saying, right?
Right.
So, you know, Adam, let's start with you here. Where do you feel that STL SC really stands in the MLS? Are they in the top 5? Well, are they definitely the number one contender on the West?
I know there was a lot of talk about whether, you know, if there was any legitimacy because of our schedule, because of this and the other. But I think that last game against Cincinnati just proved our legitimacy in the league for sure. You know, the fact is that we can go up against a solid team and we can win. It's not that you can no longer just say, well, we got lucky based upon our schedule. You know, we're seeing it in all those stats that you just rattled off in general. That just goes to prove that we are a solid team. You know, it's not just, you know, beginner's luck at this per se. I think that we're going to continue to see, top 5 performance for sure. I really think that by the end of the season, we're going to see us finishing, you know, like you said, in the top 5 for sure. I definitely see that happening for sure. The way that if we stay healthy and we keep playing that we're playing, I don't see any way around it.
Yeah. OJ, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think top 5 is a good goal to shoot for if you're talking records wise, and might as well try and win the whole thing, you know,
because right.
like you said, you beat Cincinnati and they're undeniably one of the top teams in the league and you crushed them. So, you know, you definitely, to me, St. Louis is legit and should be playing for championships at this point. Like that should be that's what we should be hoping for this year. Obviously, you know, really, if you take from how you were going into the year, like we already have had a successful season. Like I'm not going to be mad if they do, like, even if they like barely missed the playoffs or something like that, you know, it's still a pretty good season. Better than a lot of people thought.
100%. And the fact that their playing style is so good. And, you know, the fact that we were talking about it the other day, guys, about the fact that our team is really coming together and everybody's contributing and they're all out there with effort and they're showing that itself is great to see because we're obviously not seeing it elsewhere. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely is really fun to see happening because it feels like we got some really intelligent people running the organization and they made a lot of really good moves and we already look like we're pretty damn good first year.
yeah, which is pretty wild to think because obviously we had, you know, we were going into this that we were supposed to be terrible. So
again, I think to take that even further, like, if we weren't just supposed to be bad, like most people had us finishing dead last.
Yeah.
Like
first in the entire league.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know it's still early, but still, you know, no one can argue at this point that we've had a good showing for sure.
Well, yeah. And the other thing is there was a write up that I saw that was saying that we didn't go the Atlanta route. We went the Austin route where instead of trying to get a bunch of big names right out in the first year that we did more of a job of trying to build a solid foundation for the future, but we kind of just done both. We're good now hybrid. And That's we cool. have a good foundation.
Damn
for
right.
the future.
It's sort of clicking. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think it's actually very interesting. Danny's point of view of, that you have European people going, oh my God, these facilities are absolutely freaking amazing. And I really think that's going to play quite a bit in younger players that are overseas that, you know, say, you know, STLSC goes, hey, you know what? Would you like to come play with us? You know, while you prepare to try to get into like higher leagues or whatever, you get a little bit more showing, get some stuff on real game professional tape rather than playing in these, you know, smaller things. And instead of just immediately going, who the hell are you? You know what I mean? Right. They might go, oh, you know what? I heard from so-and-so that, you know, your facilities are actually not that bad. You know what? I could really, you know, use a little bit of that local flavor, so to speak, of getting there, getting into the MLS, making some money in the process and having some fan base. Absolutely. What? I could see that potentially happening. And I could potentially, I don't necessarily, it's going to be really hard for us to compete with, you know, like LA, in Miami, Inter Miami and stuff like that, where they have these backings of actual professional athletes. that can end obviously destination locations, obviously Miami and LA, right? I find it's going to be hard for us to like, say go after like a player like Messi. Like they're like, all right, cool, I'm done with like La Liga, Premier League, and all that stuff. I'm not going to go to MLS to finish out my career. I think it's going to be really hard to see somebody come over here to St. Louis and do it. I don't know. You know what I mean? That's, well, but
apparently St. Louis is in on this Roberto Firmino guy. I don't really watch, you know, much soccer, but apparently he's pretty damn good. He's looking for a new team coming over from the European leagues. But it's basic. We're actually competing primarily. Apparently, it's two teams that's down to, and one of them is the other one's Inter Milan. So it's like that's like he's almost certainly not coming here. But if he did, then that would be something to really be excited about, because apparently the dude's like a stud that fits our play style. It would be probably like elevate us to being like almost unquestionably the top team in the league. So
for sure.
Something to keep an ear open for.
Yeah,
for sure.
And to your point about, you know, we have the facilities, but we also have awesome fans, and the fact that we have a great winning record. I mean, our fans, I think it was Klaus the other day mentioned how all of the fans, he's seen it. Well, no, it wasn't Klaus. It was our head coach. He literally said he never had seen this where the entire stadium, everybody beyond just the supporter section was standing the entire game cheering loudly the entire game. He doesn't normally see that in MLS, you know, not to that extent. And St. Louis has been known to be, you know, huge supporters of our local sports teams for sure. And now that we have a great winning record and we have the great facilities, I think it's a winning recipe to bring in talent for sure.
Multiple players commented on how impressed they were with the fans last game. Mm-hmm. All it's like so many
they all stuck around,
still being,
you know,
pumped and stuff, after 2 hour delay.
Yeah. Put their lives on the line with freaking tornadoes, and they're still there.
And they had no idea if the game was even going to happen. And they still stuck around for 2 hours.
They stood that whole damn time afterwards, cheering the whole time.
That's what happens when the tickets are $1,500. Just saying. You're like, I'm not moving out of this.
I'm not missing my chance.
Exactly. But you're not wrong. I definitely think. So listen, do you guys know who Wayne Rooney is?
Yeah.
Okay, so he used to be a stud for England, right? He was like their number 10 for a long time. I think he set some records, whatever. He was kind of a forward. He was definitely a forward and then kind of moved to a midfielder. He actually played for DC United for 2 years. So, like, he played in the MLS for DC. And if DC can get a big name like him, I definitely think that we could be in that running as well. So, maybe it's not too far-fetched to think that we could get some big name or whatever, but for right now I like the squad that we have, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well guys, let's transition here to one of the teams that's disappointing. We're only gonna talk about this for like 10 seconds because I'm so done talking about the Blues, but Blues, we got our best draft pick that has now been solidified. We have the number 10 overall draft pick. What that means for us is that we have one. We have a 3.5% chance of getting the number one pick.
And we got it.
Thank the stars.
Yes.
Who has the 25% chance of getting the number one pick? It's not fucking Chicago.
Thank God.
It is the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
Which I'm telling you right now, dude, if they get Bedard, it's going to be a game changer because they have so much young talent. Oh my God.
Yeah. That'll, or with, with Zegras.
Yeah, Zegras or Tyler Zegras. Or Zach.
Pretty nice.
No, it's Tyler, yeah.
Yeah, combo there.
Yeah, and like their defense is always going to be trash, but if they're putting in 6 goals a night, it's going to be really hard to keep up with them.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's take a look at the playoff preview here and just kind of have some general conversations for this one here. So first series we have is the Avs versus Seattle. So the Kraken making their first appearance into the NHL playoffs here. So far that series is 1-0 in favor of Seattle. So Seattle Didn't take several years to get their first win in the playoffs, which is, you know, good for them. And they're actually right now leading 1-0 for Colorado.
Yeah, they're up 1-0. So
it's Jaden Schwartz, Vince Dunn. Like, let's go. Get revenge. Hey,
there you go.
I would love to see Seattle in this series because Colorado does not have a Nazem Kadri to bail them out when they can't get past an opposing goaltender anymore. So,
I tell you, so in my prediction, I know that Seattle's up 1-0.
Sorry. Did Calgary make the playoffs?
Calgary did not make the playoffs.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, you're like the grudge, man. You just hold on to this shit. I love it. I love it so much. Anyway.
Hey, I would not piss on Nazem Kadri if he was on fire.
Like, yes, sir. I love it, man.
Blood is still boiling.
I did hear that they're gonna trade him potential. I'm not even joking with you. There was talks on a Calgary Post that said that on the offseason that Kadri may get traded to one of two teams potentially. And I'm not joking with you, Detroit Red Wings or Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, like, my God.
Oh, if the Blackhawks got him, then I don't, that would fit. That's for sure. He's their type of player. He's their type of player.
100%. Like wakey wakey. Oh God. Please. Yeah. Anyways, all right. So I know Seattle's up 1-0 in this game. They're up 1-0 in this series, but I definitely have the ads still, I think, pulling through. They have just way more experience. What are you guys' takes? You know, Adam, I'll start with you. Who do you got in this series?
I'm going to crack on this one. I am, because I hate the Avs that much. So,
yeah, go ahead.
And they're not the team that they used to be. I'm not going to lie. The Avs were not the team that they used to be.
No, just they still got the number one seed, but they're not what they were last year.
They're not the teams that they used to be for sure. So I'm going to go crack, and I'm going to go with the upset.
Not to mention Seattle does have, you know, they have more experience than you think. I mean, as a team, they haven't been there, but obviously Schwartz and Dunn played key roles in that victory, the cup victory that we had in 19. And that's just two guys. I know they've got other vets on that team. I don't remember. Yep. I'm not exactly sure who, but I mean, they definitely, like, especially, I just think Jaden Schwartz is like a winner. So I think he can keep them straight on the straight and narrow. I think they've got a good chance at it, actually, if they get past Colorado.
For sure.
All right. Let's take a look at the second one here. Dallas and Minnesota. Series is tied 1-1 currently. I got Minnesota in this one. The reason why I'm going against Dallas is because if Dallas loses earlier, we have a better pick than if Minnesota wins. So, like, that's kind of why I'm really hoping for a Minnesota
win. I'm hoping so, too. Yeah.
That Dallas probably is going to win.
Yeah. My money's on Dallas, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. OJ, what about you for this series?
Dallas, Minnesota. Two teams that. Two mediocre-ass franchises, let's put it that way. I wouldn't pick either of them to win a playoff series, but since they're playing each other, I guess I have to pick one. I guess I'll just go with the chalk. Let's call it Dallas.
All right. Man, and Adam, I know that somebody who probably doesn't listen to our podcast.
Oh, no,
but if he
but can, you know.
If he... If yeah. he
He's going to be rubbing that on our face.
For Dallas, he would be cringing. He'd be like, I've never listened to this.
Yep.
Awesome.
No doubt.
You know all right. Vegas. Oh, yeah, for sure. Vegas and Winnipeg. Right now, Winnipeg is leading in that series 1-0. They do play tonight. Who do you guys got in this one? I'm going with Winnipeg. I'm going with the upset here. I think that Winnipeg has what it takes to take down Vegas. OJ, what about you?
Hell yeah. I think it's about time Winnipeg got theirs. They had the best team they've had since they moved back in 2019. And when we put a stop to it, and then their whole everything kind of blew up in a weird way for them, and I think they're back.
Adam, what about you, man?
I'm not a fan of Vegas, period. Sorry. And I'm going Winnipeg for sure. They were already being challenged, and they were already sabotaging the Jets locker room. But you know what? That's going to fire up the Jets even more, and they're going to wind up coming out, and they're going to just die. They're going to take them down for sure. So
damn right.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with you guys there. All right, let's get to the next one here. Edmonton versus the Kings. After Edmonton gets handled by the Kings in game one, Edmonton comes and does business in game two. So that series is tied up 1-1. I got Edmonton. I think Edmonton is just too talented for the Kings. It's kind of telling, though. We'll see how this game three goes, if Edmonton's going to make a deep run or not. But, OJ, who do you got here between Edmonton and the Lakers, the Kings?
That's another tough one because, I mean, I would never pick Edmonton to win a playoff series because their defense has been so porous. At least, generally.
Yeah, their offense obviously more porous for sure.
But From what I know of LA, they're kind of a similar team, just younger, right? Like, maybe they do have some better defense, but I don't think so. So, I guess just swing it in the way of experience and go Edmonton. And
it's
then
really
they probably
hard to go against a 65 goal scorer. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Connor McDavid got something that hasn't been done in years since Steven Stamkos finally hit 60. And to put that in perspective, that hasn't been done by Ovi. Like, Ovechkin hasn't gotten that marker. He hasn't gotten to the 60 goal plateau. So I think that, has a lot to say about the special year he's had. But again, that doesn't necessarily equal playoff wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Edmonton's disappointing all the time with McDavid and
Dreisaitl. Exactly.
I just expect it of them now.
But the Kings, their defense in the last game was just, it really needs some help for sure. So they definitely need more support from them. I mean, the fact that the Kings were beat by them by being outshot 40-35 and then they erased a 3-1 deficit in the third period. Good Lord. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's transition to East here. We got Carolina taking on the New York Islanders. Carolina's up 2-0 in that series.
Yeah, I'm going Canes.
I'm going to keep this one simple. I'm sorry?
I'm going Canes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's all about Jacob Slavin, baby.
You're all about that still. I'm going Canes.
Hey, man.
For sure.
Man, for our listeners, when we had All-Star game here, Adam and I were in line to do like the little shooting targets and stuff like that. Yeah. And I played a fair amount of hockey.
It was like the fan fest thing or whatever.
Yeah, the fan fest. And so this random dude comes up to us and goes, "You guys play hockey?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Why you ask me such a random question? And why are you trying to skip the line?" Right. And he's just like, "Would you like to take this on against Jacob Slavin?" And I literally,
and we're like, we just see him last night win the freaking accuracy contest at the freaking the skills competition or whatever. And we're like, "Oh shit, that's Jacob Slavin." And he's like, "He's gonna take on Josh." And we're like, "Okay." It was
really cool.
That was cool.
You know, I talked to him about the skills competition and what he thought about St. Louis, and he told me, he's like, I think St. Louis is awesome. You guys definitely have some rowdy fans that I was not expecting. But even to be able to cheer on everybody in the skills competition stuff, he's like, plus, I can't remember where he said it was not a place I heard, but they went out for food or whatever with him and a bunch of people. Because he went out with Petro, because Petro was still here at the time.
Right.
And was like blown away. He's like, "I've heard that St. Louis has got a good food," but he's like, "Not like I really knew." And so, but I can't remember. I think it was somewhere off the hill, but it doesn't matter. But Luke, we talked for a little bit and, he was very gracious, like just a really cool overall dude. And I tied him one apiece.
Yeah, you did. Can confirm. So. I was there. And if you don't believe it, it was actually on NHL.com too. So the real video's out there.
You want to go? He's like, "All right, you go first." I'm like, "Oh, no, you go first because I need the pressure off of me."
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, "All right, I'll go for
it." That was cool.
Yeah, but yeah,
so, but yeah, the Canes are definitely a good team for sure. And actually, your buddy Jacob Slavin, he actually chipped in a couple points in game two as well. So there you go.
Yep, exactly. And I think that the bunch of jerks are finally going to make a deep run this season. We'll see how it goes. But, obviously you heard from me. We heard from you, Adam. What do you about you, OJ? You got the Islanders or Carolina on this one?
I mean, honestly, I think you guys said it all. I mean, I really doubt the Islanders overcome them. So, the Canes have a core of guys that have been knocking on the door for several years now.
Yep.
So, I think it's time it pays off, probably. There's a good chance it does anyway. I don't think they'll be denied in this one. So.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for them.
So, let's get to the next one. My second favorite team, the New Jersey Devils versus the Rangers. Rangers are up, I'll say, 1.5 And the reason why I say one and a half, there's 3 minutes left to go in the third, and they're up 5-1 against New Jersey. New Jersey is about to get swept on their home ice. I still have the Devils winning this series, but I'm probably going to lose that one. Yeah, OJ, Rangers or the Devils?
I'm going to go with my boy, Vladdy.
Mm-hmm.
New York Rangers. The
Rangers. Yep.
All right. Well, that's fine. I'll just cry by myself in my corner.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rangers as well. So let's go, Vladdy.
I know.
So I'm sorry. I know how much you love the Devils, but let's be honest. I really don't see them winning the series.
We'll cry and we'll get high and we won't invite you guys.
At least whenever he's wearing the jerseys, I prefer he wear the Devils jersey versus the Blackhawks fucking jersey that hit his head on it. While it is a cool, like, for him or whatever crossover, I still hate it because it's a play on the Blackhawks jersey. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on. Anyway.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Boston versus Florida. This was an interesting one because Boston obviously set the record for the most points and most wins in a single season. They came out, didn't look great in the first period against Florida, ended up dominating game one, and then Florida came back with a vengeance in game two and, like, proved that, hey, we're here for reasons.
Out as well.
Yeah, so this is going to be an interesting series. I still got Boston because I think they're deep. But I think this is some chinks in the armor, so to speak. Adam, you know, for you, who do you got in the series, Boston or Florida?
Unfortunately, I have to go with Boston, but I think it's definitely going to be, you know, the series is going to go, you know, it's not going to be, I don't think they're going to blank them, that's for sure. You know, it's going to be a long series, I bet.
For sure. OJ, how about you?
Yeah, so... I think Florida this year experienced, like, the largest point drop-off from last year as any other team, even the Blues. So I think that the Magic is kind of over, and they're just not the same team. And I think Boston is probably better than they've been in a while. As good as they've been consistently, this is one of their better teams, I think. So I think Boston wins.
Yeah.
I agree. I definitely think that in this series specifically, Florida, it has some offense. If they can get through Boston's defense, they're going to be able to score. But Florida just does not have the defensive numbers. And I think that's where a lot of that point drop off that you were talking about, OJ, is there, is their defense has just not shown up. It really hasn't this year. But it's been buoyed by their offense. You know what I mean?
So, right.
It's the reason why they were the last team to get in. So
yeah, sure. Exactly.
Now, the one that's very interesting, this series is very, very interesting. It is now tied 1-1 because that game went final. It's and it's 7-2. Toronto and Tampa Bay Lightning. Man, this is you got to feel for Toronto a little bit here because obviously that you feel like they've been knocking on that doorstep for a little bit and they just keep running into juggernauts in the first period. I mean, we know that they were up 3-0 in the series, end up losing 4-3 to Boston in game seven. They were up, I think it was 4-0, end up losing that game, and that was a couple years back. And it's just like, man, can Toronto finally get through a first round? And here they go. They're going up against Tampa Bay, right? I tell you, like, and it didn't look good for them, but they definitely came out to prove something tonight, obviously winning 7-2. That's good for them, and the series is tied here, but I'm still going with Tampa Bay. The reason why I'm going with Tampa Bay partially is because if Toronto does lose, then we have a higher draft pick again for the Ryan O'Reilly trade. So that's definitely the reason why I'm going with Tampa Bay, but I also do believe that history does repeat itself. And I think that Tampa Bay is going to, you know, break some hearts in Toronto. Adam, what's your thoughts?
I think that this playoff run, we'll side with the Maple Leafs for a change. I really do. I think they have a real shot at it, and they've been playing well overall their season. You know, they ended with 111 points. They're looking pretty solid, but we'll see if they choke. I mean, obviously everybody used to tell us that we choked every season too, and then obviously we turned things around. So I think that I see your point, but I still think the Maple Leafs get past the Lightning in this.
Right. OJ, what about you, man?
Yeah, so I agree with you, Josh. I think that yes. Toronto is just – I think they're – I don't want to say the word, but I think they're doomed to never win for a really long time yet. So because they just seem to always lose in the first round. Even when things look like for sure they're going to win, they lose. So I think it's just part of their identity right now until they get a new core. So I have no faith in
that. We'll see.
I definitely agree. We'll see. The thing is, I believe that Toronto is like the Blues in the East. What I mean by that is it's going to take something dramatic. Like they're going to have these great teams that get close and fall, right? They fall short every single time. But then all of a sudden, like, hey, we have high expectations. Oh, crap, we're last in the league. And then you come back and win it. That's going to be Toronto finally getting through. It's something dramatic like that. That's just kind of how I feel for them.
Yeah, Maple Leafs in seven. That's what I'm saying.
It's going to require dramatic changes because we didn't win our cup till we changed our core. We had that core that came up with, like, Oshie and Perron and all them and Backes and that. But we didn't win a cup till we changed to a new core. And I think part of that, well, not obviously we, you know, if you want to say really, we got way better at center over the course of like 2 years. And that made a huge difference. But
yeah, for sure. Dad.
But yeah, so, you know, if we're drawing comparisons, then that's what Toronto's going to need to do yet. It doesn't mean they need to trade Matthews, but they would need to trade like a couple other guys potentially.
Yeah, so they could trade Matthews to, you know, to the Blues for a third round pick. I would agree with that.
And just to be clear, I'm having fun with this. I'm not actually advocating for them selling everybody. Man, we gotta get Matthews off this team. We just can't win with this guy.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, it's definitely not gonna happen. All right, guys. Well, we'll see how the NHL playoffs continue. We'll definitely continue our discussion and probably have more in depth as the series start getting more narrowed down. Instead of trying to cover eight different series and stuff like that, we'll definitely continue to talk about that and the Blues draft picks as teams hopefully fall off so we get better picks. But let's get to our straw hat here in the NBA tournaments. So little update. So for anybody that didn't pay to or participate in, I almost said pay attention. That sounded really bad, but participate in last session. We did a straw hat tournament. So for the NBA, since I'm pretty much the only one that watches basketball on a semi-regular basis for the cast.
I've been watching this a little bit, now that I've got some skin in the game. So I've been watching.
Yeah, that is true. And that was the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did a straw hat. So essentially we put all of our three of our names in a hat to do an order. And then we just drew random names out of another hat for the 18 teams that remained. And that was including the play-in series that was going on. So we each got six teams. Currently, the way it stands, Adam, you're in the lead. You have six teams. Yep. OJ and myself have five teams left. That's because I lost the Bulls in the play-in series, and OJ lost the Thunder in the play-in series. So let's go ahead and head to the matchups here. The Denver Nuggets versus the Timberwolves of Minnesota. And that is myself with the Nuggets versus OJ's Timberwolves. And Denver's up 2-0 in the series currently. So OJ might be losing one there. And then we go to the Suns and Clippers, which that series is tied 1-1 right now. That is Adam versus Adam. So
you're I'm winning. I'm losing.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Man. Damn. At least I'm bound to win. So there you go.
The crazy thing is that is the only one out of all of these series that we have. Right. We have facing each other.
Yeah. Like in the Western Conference where I'm actually facing myself. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. But as I said, when we did this, it was pretty even. The third one here, we have the Sacramento Kings versus my Warriors from the Bay, from Golden State. And unfortunately, Sacramento's up 2-0 in that series. Game three literally just started not too long ago. So right when I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to go watch the game. That is OJ's Kings versus my Warriors. I'm sorry, OJ. I really do think that my Warriors are going to come back and win this one, but we'll see. I'm going to move on quickly off that.
I'm going to call those slim chances. Slim chances.
I'm rooting for I'll root for you there, dude. On this one, I will.
Hell yeah. Thanks. I need it.
I didn't tell you which one I'm rooting for, by the way.
That is true shit.
There you go. I'm just rooting for you.
All right.
Playing both sides.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm exactly. like a freaking slick on that politician.
And he made me believe in myself, too. You hear, I was like, oh, thanks, man. Jeez, like a politician. Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyways, last one we have in the West is the Memphis Grizzlies versus the LA Lakers. That series is tied 1-1. That is OJ's Grizzlies versus Adams Lakers. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting for sure.
Let's go Winter Greens.
Okay. Right. Winter Greens. Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. All right. We're going to the East. We have the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Miami Heat. That series is tied 1-1. That is my Bucks versus Adams Heat. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that series progresses. When we have the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the New York Knicks. That series tied 1-1. That's also Adam versus me, as Adam has the Cavaliers and I have the Knicks. The next series that we have, the next two series and the last two series we have are actually 2-0 in favor of a team. We have the 76ers of Philadelphia versus the Brooklyn Nets. Philly's up 2-0 in that series, and that is OJ's 76ers versus Adam's. Ooh. Brooklyn Nets. So he's
losing that one for sure. Yep.
Yeah. And then we have the last series, the Boston Celtics versus the Atlanta Hawks. Boston's up 2-0 in that series. And that's also Adam's Celtic.
OJ's Celtics.
Yeah. My bad. Yeah. OJ Celtics versus my Hawks. So OJ's looking, as I said, man, he pulled out like two dumpy teams.
Yeah.
And then
really good teams for sure. So I may be in the lead, right now, we'll see how it goes for sure. Whenever we get to the semifinals for sure.
I think I think I'm rooting for the 76ers overall because I want to see the Always Sunny episode about it.
That would be pretty funny. How about this? They get to the finals and lose to the Warriors. I would like that. Wouldn't you?
Oh my God.
Because then they wouldn't make an episode about it. So
I know. I know. Just like they're not going to make an episode when they lost to the Chiefs. Sorry, Rob.
Womp, womp.
Yay. Anyways. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get to the sign-off here and go from there. Adam, what's our media question of the week?
Well, it's time to talk about one of the most exciting aspects of sports, and that's our rivalries. We want to hear from you, our listeners, about who your favorite St. Louis sports rivalry is and why. So we want to hear your thoughts. Let's get that conversation going. Check us out on facebook.com/thehometownlosers, LOUSERS, and twitter.com/hometownlosers.
That is such a good question. That's so hard to ask. Like, OJ, what's your favorite rivalry out of all St. Louis sports?
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah. Definitely,
especially the span through time. You know what I mean?
Definitely Cards Cubs, because it's just hilarious how much of a little brother they are. Like, I think that rivalry alone has given many Chicago folks like an inferiority complex to St. Louisans, which is, when you consider the population size and stuff, it should be reversed, right? That has ruined people in Chicago for a long time. So
that's
my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've had a lot with the Cardinals, you know. Obviously, that's one of our most popular. We've had some, obviously, with the Pond Scum, the Mets, you know. Had one back a while back with the Reds. You know, we've had our fair share. Obviously, when it comes to the Blues, you know, once again, Chicago is our favorite enemy, you know, our favorite team to hate.
I go Detroit, Dallas,
Nashville,
Winnipeg in the recent Predators. Years.
Yep. And then obviously with XFL, you know, looking at you know, possibly DC and the Battlehawks. So
Seattle, for sure.
And then even when it comes to St. Louis City SC, I don't know if we really have much of a rivalry yet. You know, obviously they were talking about rivalries with KC, but that's like, okay, that team sucks so bad right now. It's like, okay, you know,
they
they're
have
last
like two
place.
Goals on the year.
Right.
Two goals on the year.
Like, there's not much of a rivalry. It's like they clearly are just like, okay, yeah, you suck.
They're awful.
But
I've heard people talking about Minnesota a little bit because that last game was pretty evenly played, and it was close, and we barely lost, and that might be something sparking there.
So. Could be, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of good rivalries, so.
For sure. Let us know again on our socials here. You know, what you guys' favorite rivalries are. We'd definitely like to discuss that with you guys. OJ, what is your game of the week?
My game of the week is the Battlehawks game because we're fighting for our lives. So, caca. Oh.
We will be there at the Battle Dome. We will walk away victorious.
The Battle Dome.
That's the Battle Dome. Game starts at 11 o'clock Central Time on Saturday on ESPN for anybody that's trying to watch that game. So that's definitely going to be a very good one.
So get up early, make some breakfast, and start drinking early. So that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, I was going to say, have your mimosas or your Bloody Marys or whatever. Have your little brunch. We're all going to be at the Dome where we're going to be drinking Mick Ultra, and that'll be that. So they don't serve mimosas. Otherwise, I find it very offensive, but they should come by with mimosas. Could you imagine? They're like passing out fucking mimosas at 11 in the morning. Oh, yeah. We're all like, instead of like chugging beers, we're all like, cheers to everyone. And then,
That's how we make noise. So instead of banging on the seats or like stomping our feet, we just take like spoons and hit it into the champagne glass.
That would be wild. Yeah. So why not? So come out and let's make some noise and let's bring home a win for the Battlehawks.
Sure. All right, guys, that's going to
wrap it up the season. So if not,
right.
That's going to wrap up here. Session 21. So appreciate you guys listening. Thanks again. We will see you next week here on the Hometown Losers podcast. See you later.
This is OJ, and I wanted to thank you guys for listening to the equivalent of three dudes sitting at a bar talking about sports. We'll catch you next week on the Hometown Losers.